Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Hooligans Pitch, episode 68. This is a great weekend. You know, we're a primarily Bundesliga-focused podcast, so seeing Bayer Leverkusen win it all, first time in 120 years. Wow, what a weekend for the sport.
Chad, this could be a alternate reality. I saw Messi score in America this weekend. What universe are we in?
Wow, yeah. You know, it's weekends like these, you gotta notice the good little roses in your life, right? Like,
you know,
you can't let it get bogged down.
I really wanted to come on here and just say I'm dead inside, because that's how I've kind of felt for the last 48 hours. And you've brought a little, life back into me just within these first 15 seconds. So I do appreciate that. This was the lowest I think we've been all season. For myself, this is the lowest I've been this season.
It's fair. I'm probably right there as well. I think it just a weekend that could have been turned into not.
and that's something I want to discuss with you, because, you know, you saw us lose in the morning. You woke up to a beautiful Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Arsenal having the chance to go ahead on of Liverpool. Liverpool dropping points against Crystal Palace, which I know last week I said will bounce back. Deep down, Chad, really deep down, I was pretty fearful for this game. I was. And, you know, I saw videos of journalists going around the Emirates saying Liverpool lost, and people are like, they bottled it. And now I'm like, that is just insane karma.
Yeah, you can't get ahead of yourself like that.
But damn it, man.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I mean, equally damn it. You know, it's our one goal here was just to not let City win, and we put them in a great spot to do that now.
Our one goal. We didn't even score one this weekend.
Yeah.
How terrible. Rough. Okay, wait. We gotta pop this up. We're like,
yeah.
It's hot in here. I'm drinking a Bao Echo. It's got a cool little Shiba Inu in there.
Ooh.
Hazy IPA out of Memphis. I think I've had this on the pod before, I feel like. Maybe. Possibly, I don't know. Yeah. It's beer. I'm having it.
There you go. I'm going alcoholic, but a little bit different. I saw this in the store last week and then went and got it today, and kind of with the eye towards like summer drinks. So I saw a Voodoo Ranger hard charge tea.
Holy moly.
So it's I mean, this is just lemon flavor, but they got some other flavors, but they're 7%. Don't taste like it.
Dangerous.
And I mean, if you like the like alcoholic tea, pretty tasty, I'd say.
I will keep my eye out for that. I didn't know that existed. But I will look for that. So cheers. Like I said, I was going to have whiskey tonight because I was just feeling down, but we still got a couple more weeks.
Yeah.
You never know. I think for me, though, looking at the schedules with City, Arsenal, and Liverpool, doesn't look great.
We basically need Tottenham to do what they do against City, which is a terrible place to be. Yeah. You know, once everyone started really looking at the final run-in schedules, I mean, I think everyone already agreed at that point that City had the easiest run-in. And now to give them, you know, a points lead, it could be a win streak for them. I don't know. Someone posted their results from like recent years run-ins, and they normally at least have like one little slip, whether it's a draw or a loss. I don't know if that'll happen here. It doesn't look like any of those teams, except maybe Tottenham, could be the one to push them off, just because they got some weird juju against Tottenham. But
it has to be a loss, though. It has to be.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is it has to be a big crushing defeat.
I don't think they're going to draw two. I'd be shocked if they draw two. I'd be more shocked if they draw two than lose one.
Yeah, that's true.
A draw and a loss would be great. However, I just look at their schedule here, and I'm like, you know, I kind of said it earlier, the only team in form right now is Fulham. Like, and that's Fulham's never, they're not in consistent form. West Ham, I would love for them to give it their all on the last day. I don't think that's going to happen. Tottenham, after seeing this last weekend with them, do they want Europe? Because it doesn't look like it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think Fulham's probably the best bet. Like, you know, Brighton at home has had this somewhat strong home record, you know, up until Arsenal last week. But, you know, Brighton themselves have not looked great, so I don't see them doing anything. Forest could be the one up in the air to at least snag a draw, like fighting to avoid relegation. They might have a little something in them.
I feel like just on that note, Morgan Gibbs-White is just playing like a different beast right now out there. And I could really see him trying to really motivate his team and be like, we need to stay up. This is like, this could be the proving point to our team, to managerial people all around the world saying like, Forest can still stay up. We can still do it. So I agree with you there. And I really like him. I won't, you know, I really like him with Forest, but if he was with another team, with some surrounding talent, he could be just move one level up. That's how I view him, but I'm not putting all my eggs in the basket for Forest to
take points off the city. Yeah, so I don't know. Didn't mean to start the pod on a damper like this, but
it had to be done. It just has to be done, and it's unfortunate that both our teams did it on the exact same day. Y'all had your first, I guess, not defeat, but the first time in 2024, y'all were down, which is a crazy stat. And Liverpool not scoring, losing two games in a row for the first time since I can remember. I didn't even want to go back that far to see when's the last time we lost two in a row. So it was a brutal week for the both of us, and we're just kind of out of form right now. And I don't know. Great seeing everyone come back. Trent, Allison, Jota. But I feel like a month ago, we kind of had things figured out without those guys. And I feel like now we're trying to reinsert them into this lineup. Curtis Jones, too. And it's just, I don't know. Now it's going to take time to, like, make everyone work together again when it's not the time to do this.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of that and a little bit of just, like, Liverpool is shooting but not shooting well. And, like, Arsenal kind of went through that at the start of the season, like, getting a lot of shots off. Even getting good shots off, but just not scoring. And you know, I watched through the Liverpool Crystal Palace highlights today, and like almost every highlight is a Liverpool shot, but you know, it's either right at the keeper or Henderson's making some crazy save or you know, it is off target. But like,
you saw the 4v2 that eventually led to nothing. I as that was happening, I looked at Chris and I said, if we blow this, I'm going to lose my mind. And it happened, and I just looked at her, and I was like, you just can't – that you can't win a league like playing like that. That's crazy. We've had so many opportunities just like that in the last month where we've just thrown away, and I don't understand it. It's – man, that was hard to watch. That was a tough one.
It's kind of – just unbelievable coming from, you know, the years of – Mane and Firmino and like on those breaks, like between those two and Salah, like someone was shooting and scoring, right? Like even if you go back to Luis Suarez there, like someone was shooting and scoring, and now it's like, I don't know. You need a little bit more like killer instinct up there maybe, and like sometimes that's Darwin, but other times he seems to want to just pass, or he runs wide instead of kind of down the middle where he could be more effective. And I don't know, it's a weird, at this point, probably like a mental block sort of thing.
For
like,
sure it is. I think it's really mental right now, just because we're not, it's a 5v2 situation. Instead of saying we're going to get him, it's going, it's, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Like, we have this, like, opportunity.
I don't want to mess it up.
Dude, it's hard. It's hard to watch. It's going to take one big thumping, I think, will get us kind of back in that groove. But again, it's like too little too late here.
Yeah, coming down to the wire. So you needed to you need to bounce back quick.
Yeah, against Fulham.
I mean, that it could be a good game to try and find that form again. You know, Fulham is looking better than they have in recent weeks, but, you know, it might take a team that'll present some good competition and not necessarily just sit back as much as Palace does to kind of get Liverpool back into gear.
Right.
Hopefully, I mean, you know, it's still, you know, only 2 points off, but, and yeah, we require a City loss, basically, but you might as well try and stay up there, right? Like, you can't throw your whole season away now that,
no,
you know, you had a little bad patch of form. You can't let it grow and just completely wreck it. So
I feel like we've just been doing this for the last 6 years now.
Yeah, you guys, yeah.
It's like, dude, we're right there. And then, and it's not like, you know, we could have had this loss back in October and it would have, it would have hit way different. And we could have been third at this point with that loss in October, and I'd be feeling so different today, but this is like,
yeah, right.
It's just crazy, the timing of it. And, you know, going into the Fulham game, we played Fulham not that long ago. It was a couple of months ago, and that was a seven goal thriller where we were scoring bangers everywhere, but we still had to fight our way to beat them at the very last minute.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, all these last minute victories kind of just, I don't know, just very telling to our season of like, just procrastinating till the end to get things done. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe we'll do the season the exact same way. Just felt like we ran out of steam against Palace. 21 shots.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, I mean, certainly mental, but I think, you know, as each shot gets taken and doesn't score a goal, you know, these players are in their head, whether they realize it or not, probably racking up of like, okay, it's been like, three or four games I've had like numerous shots and I just cannot get the goal. What's going on here? And, you know, not to say Liverpool's not creating the chances, because they certainly are and, you know, getting in good positions, but just can't find that final finish.
It's crazy. It's crazy how many shots we actually take. And like a lot of them are point blank right at Henderson. Hard shots too, but it's like anywhere else, anywhere. It's crazy, but let's talk a little Arsenal too, because unlike Liverpool, y'all weren't down to start that game early. I thought y'all looked pretty good, honestly. There were a couple moments that I think Villa, you know, they had a couple. Tielemans had that shot off the post, which was crazy. They definitely had, in my opinion, more opportunities to take the lead. It just didn't happen, but it felt very balanced until things just got a little sloppy in that back line, especially on the Bailey goal. I thought Raya was so far over to the right, and it looked like when that ball was coming in, no one really knew what was, like, no one really took the initiative to say, I got it or clear it. Everyone just kind of crashed to the ball, and then it just left the whole weak side of the goal open, which was an easy shot for Bailey. Walk me through, you know, what you saw, at least from the first half standpoint, and what opportunities Arsenal missed.
You know, Villa's been one of those like bogey teams for Arsenal in recent history. You know, especially with the Martinez connection, he always kind of makes a little show of it, not so much these days as much as like when he first went over there, but you know, I think he's always going to want to put on a good performance against Arsenal. So yeah, a little nervous going into it, but I thought, Arsenal started the game well. You know, looked lively and were creating and, you know, probably could have had a couple goals in that first half, which I think certainly would have changed the game. You know, Jesus has a header at the back that is just kind of wide, and that the Trossard chance that just like comes across goal and he has the whole goal to aim for, but somehow aims it right at Martinez, which is a bummer. So, you know, but then on the other end, Villa basically just got unlucky with some of their shooting and Arsenal rode some luck in that of, you know, Tielemans, hitting the bar.
For sure.
Was it, I think Watkins did like the double doink and out. So I mean, it I think balance is a fair way to put it. But yeah, going into half, I was still feeling cautiously good. Like it Arsenal looked good. Certainly not as dominant as they have looked in past games, but you know, yeah, level with Villa. You know, both fighting for it and both sides looking like they could do something. So felt okay. And then second half came out, and I think it's just the boys were tired from you know, a big Champions League game midweek. It just, they like play just kind of died, and so many of the Arsenal players just looked so slow. And you know, credit to Aston Villa, they played in Europe as well midweek, but whether it's rotation or just pure drive to win and kind of keep their top four hopes alive, they kept the energy up, and you know, that caused problems. And then, you know, Bailey comes in and he's quick and can dribble, and certainly caused more problems for Zinchenko on the left. And then, yeah, I think that Bailey goal, it looks like from the replay, everyone kind of freezes, and like David Raya kind of starts to go for it, but then almost like pulls back from it. So it was this, yeah, weird massive confusion right at the near post. But then, yeah, the back post is wide open for Bailey to get in there. And then, yeah, you know, a few minutes later, Ollie Watkins turns on the Jets, and, you know, Smith Rowe's defending is not his first strength, so puts in a good effort. But you know, it's a great finish from Watkins to get it in and double the lead, you know, back to back. And after that, I think most Arsenal fans are probably in agreement that this game was done. Not that Arsenal can't come back in late in games, because we've seen it before, but you typically see a lot more you know, urgency and good play leading up to that, and it just wasn't the whole second half. So yeah, you know, missed the chance to go top and keep some distance on City a little bit, but
and it kills me more too knowing that you guys lost too. It's like both of us had a huge window of opportunity here, and we both dropped it so hard.
We both just I don't know. It almost feels like Arteta's plan was, okay, we're all tired from the midweek game, you know, go out there, get some early goals, and then we can rotate as needed. Which I think is a fine strategy, but like, you need to get your shots in the goal for that to work. And when it didn't happen, it became this, you know, the game that it was. And then I think you start to still kind of see Arteta not fully trusting his bench players. You know, I think some of them are still coming back from injury and working towards match fitness, but you know, you have basically that same starting 11 is what's played almost every single game. So come end of the season and after, you know, your first big Champions League game in quite a few years, like, it's understandable they're tired. But then I think you got to start looking at Arteta of like, okay, well, if you can't trust, you know, the guys on your bench and rotate at some point throughout the season, like, you got to figure that out, or you got to bring in the players that you can trust. And because it's looking a little bit of, you know, shades of last season where like they just kind of lost steam because, again, it was the same starting 11 playing every single game. And I don't know. I saw a stat. I should have saved it, but I think it was Arsenal have, I think, 6 players this season that have played 28 plus Premier League games.
Wow.
And I think City had like maybe 3 or something like that, that I think started Premier League games at least. So it's like City's depth is just better than Arsenal at maybe not all like completely, but like at least Pep trust them more, or is able to, you know, get the most out of them, where, you know, I don't think Arteta's fully realized that part of his managerial job yet.
No, and I think you could take one player out of City and replace him with another and still be all right with the other 10 that you have around him, right? Now, if you stack your 11 against their 11, you know, I think same with Liverpool. If you stack our three teams' 11s next to each other, pretty even. But once you start taking out one and put him in with another, the whole formation shifts. Everything kind of just gets a little dicey and a little weird with City, the way they play. You can kind of slot in anyone, and not anyone, but you got to make sure you have the right personnel around them. But it's like this weekend with you put in Kovacic. You know, they didn't have Rodri this weekend, or Foden, and they were able to put in Oscar Bob with KDB there, still being like this facilitator, and still find a way to put, what, they get five this weekend?
Yeah.
Five it. So it's like, yes, it's Luton. Yes, it's probably going to be a crazy, you know, we were hoping last week that Luton would do something crazy, but that didn't happen. But it was, City just has a way with their players, but it's like, when you have A pluses in 8 of the 11 spots, you could throw a couple C players in there and be all right.
Yeah.
And with Liverpool and Arsenal, you know, I think most of our team is B pluses. And especially this season, I think I can't say Liverpool has an A plus player this season.
I think for Arsenal, you could maybe say I'd average most at maybe like an A to A minus. I guess mainly thinking of that back line, since
our back line too.
That seems for both sides most stable, even when there has been some switching in there. I think then if you look to the benches, it's not a huge drop off, but again, if you're now putting a B player in with, you know, just A minus players, it's like you don't have that same aura around like a Kevin De Bruyne, who can facilitate and create, but also just, I think, has that ability to kind of like lift the other players up and what they can provide. So I guess more shopping to do in the summer and figure out how to get Arteta to trust his bench throughout the season. And
the question that I had was when Ben White came out for Tomiyasu. I thought that was interesting. You know, Ben White's kind of been a workhorse, and a big reason why your back line is what it is, especially on the attacking side too. So when he came out, I was a little surprised, because that's when the game was still even. It was still, it was 0-0 in the 67th minute when Ben White came out, and that was the why then?
I think that one caught a lot of people off guard. Like when Tomiyasu walked up, you know, I think most people assumed he was coming in for Zinchenko, I think would have been a smarter change. My only thinking is that, you know, Ben White picked up a yellow card earlier, so maybe just wanted to save that. And then there's also been talk that he's just been carrying like a injury for a while, but Arsenal themselves have never confirmed that. So I don't know if that's true, but he's played through mostly every other game. So I don't know if it was some injury or just fatigue related, but I think, you know, you look at what Zinchenko did to allow that Tielemann shot. Like Zinchenko basically had that ball, could just clear it, but as he does so often in some, you know, tighter defensive situations, he wants to try and, you know, dribble around him and find the pass out, which is great because that's kind of, you know, how Pep taught him to play and how Arteta wants him to play. But at the same time, I think you have to be able to read those situations better. And, in that situation, just clear it up the field, you know. If you're going to let Tielemans get the ball, like, put in a good challenge on him at least, not give him all the space to, you know, almost get a beautiful goal off of it.
Right. Last 6 games, Ben White has played the full 90 with yellow cards in a couple of them. So that's why I was
like,
still...
People keep talking about the injury, but I don't know that I've seen anything to point that he would have anything big enough to, you know, pull him from this game.
He looked fine to me in this game. I would have never guessed he was injured.
Yeah, he looked great to me. You know, he's... Especially that first half, him and Saka and Odegaard, you know, were making their little triangle down deep in Villa's side, and I don't know. I don't really know what the plan was there. For me, that feels like just the wrong sub. You know, I think you do Tomiyasu for Zinchenko, and not saying it saves any of the goals, but Tomiyasu's a better one-on-one defender, especially against, you know, Bailey, who came in, what, like 6 minutes before that? So,
yep.
It's, I think just a miss from Arsenal, like, tactically. Like, first half is good. Second half, whether it's people got tired or you know, the subs are wrong or what, I don't know, but just fell apart. And, you know, a bummer to do that at home. But games to play, still have a chance to go further in Champions League, so not trying to get too down on it. Like, you know, luckily yesterday I was pretty busy during the day, so I didn't have really time to like get online and see everyone like doom and gloom about it. So
must be nice.
So that was kind of nice to just like see it end and be like, all right, that sucks, and just like have to focus on other things. So,
well, I was in a house. I said, "Man, we both suck today." And it's like, "Oh, dude, it's been weird vibes here." Odegaard's hurt though. No return date right now on EPL injuries. That's the one. That's
yeah. So I mean, if it's again kind of up in the air, like. Is it really that he's hurt? Like, I know Arteta said he came out because Odegaard was feeling something, but, you know, he also took that kick to the chest a little bit before that from the... forget who it was on Villa, but... so I don't know if it's related to that, and then also just fatigue from playing so many games and, you know, just not having a great rotation option for most of the season. But yeah, if he's missing, then that's going to be a huge hole to fill. And I don't know that anyone can step up and do that.
we'll find out tomorrow. Y'all play tomorrow?
No, Wednesday this week.
Okay. Wednesday. All right. Well, Chad, we've talked for a half hour on our woes. You want to move on to these other games here and just kind of quickly dissect them? Just any little fun tidbits we saw? Because I would love, if you don't mind, if you're good with it, to move on. I'll move on too. I've had enough, as you say, the doom and gloom for one weekend. We can shake it off, right?
That's it.
Go Tottenham in week 37. Fulham in week 35. There's opportunities. So
exactly.
For the love of God, don't let City do this again. Everyone, not just Liverpool and Arsenal, everyone in the league will be so happy if anyone takes down City at this point. I truly believe that. Truly believe it. So yeah, let's get on with it. Want to talk VAR?
Always.
let's jump to Man U and Bournemouth. Because this was the big VAR game of the weekend for me that stood out. Two big calls in this game that I believe changed the outcome. The first one being the PK that Man United earned being down 2-1 for a handball that appears to go off a shoulder off a deflection. This might be the worst handball I've ever seen called.
Yeah.
It's up there, right?
I mean, even for me, even kind of regardless of where it came off, it was such one of those like really quick pings where you don't really have a chance to react.
So yeah, I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to do it to you. You put the Odegaard handball on Salah and that mm-hmm. one side by side, and you tell me that the Odegaard one wasn't a handball, but the Bournemouth one was. That's crazy. So
yeah,
what if you were VAR, what would you tell? How would you tell me that was a handball? Because I can't wait to hear the conversation. What do they say?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I guess you know you're going off of. I think the key part that they see is that, I mean, it's just kind of natural body movement as you're like maintaining your balance and turning, but like his arm kind of like moves out as he's like as his chest is turning, right? Like his whole body is turning, so it looks like his arm kind of comes out. I think that's what they see, and that's their deciding factor of like, oh yeah, he, you know, moved his arm now towards the ball to call it a handball. But for me, it's still just like it comes off of the first defender and just flies so quickly at whoever committed the handball. You don't have enough time to like properly react to it. And I heard the commentator saying just like instinctively threw his arm out at the ball. Like, what professional defender or any outfield player is going to instinctively throw your arm out to the ball? Like, you've been playing the sport for years since you were a kid, and you're taught how to basically bring the ball down in any way that doesn't involve your hands, right? Like, so I don't know if that one is. I eagerly await the mic'd up episode, but they have gone quiet on those for a while now.
Yeah, it has been a while, hasn't it? They have not released those in quite a bit.
Yeah,
that one was just bizarre, just because of the way, especially where it hit his arm. It was definitely, I think, mm-hmm. elbow and up. And usually for me, yeah. when it's elbow and down, and I understand, sure, shoulder to elbow, that is part of your arm. Call it a handball, yeah. arm ball, whatever you want to call it. But he, man, it's just so, the way it happened so fast, and with other handballs that we've seen not been called for the same kind of reasons, right? It just is accidental. I thought this yeah. was very, very unfortunate for Bournemouth, and to watch it live, infuriating. And I can't imagine what their minds were really going through at that point. So.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. That was just a questionable decision. But that wasn't even the one that, for me, because of the timing of it. It was the second VAR review, which was the tackle mm-hmm. that was made on the edge of the box, and you know the rule of tackles. And I was kind of looking into this. If your foot is on the line and you make a tackle, it's wherever your body is. That's where the foul will take place, right?
Okay.
So yeah. the foul on VAR is deeming that it happened outside of the box. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm really curious what VAR has to say about this, because I do believe contact happened outside the box. Maybe. It was too hard to yeah. tell. But I don't believe there was a foul until the defender's foot was on the line. And that's where it gets really interesting. And you know, the commentators, which felt very Man United bias. I think we can just tell that right from the start.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you this image here. You can clearly see the foot on the line, and for me, I just don't.
Okay. Yeah.
So the foul happens in the red square, right? And then yeah. his foot is on the line in rule of the law. That's a PK. And for this one, it just I don't know. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this was also just a weird one to watch. Like, I feel like they're also just not giving us a lot of angles anymore, and not showing the crowd a lot of the view anyway mm-hmm. with these calls anymore. But I mean, that one, yeah, it certainly, I think, deserved a a longer look. I didn't see it, but did they send the ref to the screen? Or because he called PK live.
He called a PK and VAR said, you're wrong.
It's, okay, so see, that alone, regardless of what foul is happening, I don't think should be able to happen in a PK sense, right?
Because you're not overturning inclusive.
It. Yeah, like if you're overturning it, or you believe it should be overturned, cool, but like I think because you are overturning the live call, you know, the on-field ref should be forced to go have that second viewing at the monitor. It's his call at the end of the day, you know. VAR can plead its case, but it's also not really their place to plead their case. They're just supposed to be like, oh, yeah, you maybe want to go look at this again. You know, we're always told that VAR is not trying to re-ref the game, but like, is this not re-refing the game?
This is 100% re-refing the game. This is totally.
Yeah.
You know, and we've seen so many moments where it's not conclusive, right? There's not enough evidence, mm-hmm. just like the Arsenal out of bounds ball, right?
Yeah.
We couldn't tell, so we can't change it.
Yeah.
How could they tell this? It's crazy. It's so bizarre. I've seen so many. I feel so bad for Bourne and the fans. I went into their Reddit quick after this one, and they were just like, yep, got us again. Like, what can we do? We're not Man United. So United, incredibly lucky. Incredibly.
That's what they do. Again. They may not have Fergie time anymore, but they still got some crazy luck over them to scrounge up points wherever they can. And you know, they were outshot 20-8. Like, it's Bournemouth. Like, yes, Bournemouth has been on a good run, but you should not be going away to Bournemouth and getting outshot, you know, more than double. Like,
yep.
that's an insane stat. Like, United did not deserve anything here. You know, even Bruno's first goal was like just some poor defending, sure, like just a lack of clearing the ball, but you know, I think you're still lucky with that goal. It just one good boot on that ball and it's cleared instead of just kind of bouncing around. And then, I mean, yeah, the two VAR calls anyway. So, like,
bailouts.
Yay.
Big bailouts. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Bournemouth, though, nice goals.
Yeah, great goals, yeah.
Schlenky and who got the other one?
Clivert,
yeah. Very almost similar, but great goals nonetheless. Yeah. Better than
that United's. Clivert one was just, like, talking about United's performance, they just let him walk up with the ball and just, like, kept going, and they said, all right, I guess I'll shoot.
Did you notice that kind of happened a lot this weekend? I went through all the goals, and my when watching them, it felt like the defending was pretty weak this weekend in terms of letting the attacking player kind of get to their spots.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was a couple of them where I was like, God, like they just let him walk over him. I think the Cunha one from Wolverhampton, that was the one that I was like, okay, like,
yeah.
I guess we'll defend, maybe. So yeah, that's my VAR. And then one more for VAR, just the Spurs Newcastle, because we'll jump into that game. Spurs is absolutely playing. I don't know what that was.
That's Ainge ball, baby.
That's Ainge ball at the finest. Credits to Newcastle, but the James Maddison kick earning him a yellow. Why do you think that wasn't a red?
Just another mystery that, you know, it'd be great to hear some ref discourse on that, but don't think we will, since you know, nothing really came of it of note. But yeah, that was a fun game to watch. I'll give it that.
Dude, this was about to be such a good weekend watching Tottenham lose 4-0. Did they do this last year against Tottenham?
Maybe.
They did, right? I think they did. It was like 5-0 though. In like the first half. Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah, it was against Tottenham. I think it was 4 or 5, but it was all in like the first half. I think even shorter than that. I think the first like 20 minutes.
Oh,
like,
bro, I thought I was looking at the match report from this year. I was looking at last year's 6-1 April 23rd. Tottenham put five in the first half, so almost a year apart. They said we're gonna let's fuck up Tottenham again.
Oh my god, yeah. But Newcastle looked great. Tottenham did not. You know, Van de Ven. I'm sure we've all seen the video and the picture of him doing some breakdance moves out there. Like, just not the time and place to be doing that. You know, you got to be defending.
You didn't even have cardboard.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. You know, this is what Ainge likes to do. He has his one way to play, and that is it. And
go get him.
You know, that people love to credit him with I don't know, perseverance or something for that. But like, you know, Newcastle's whole game is almost your game, where it's speed and you know, balls over the top and, you know, big counters, and you're gonna play the high line, and especially in a couple of those, it was like just Van de Ven back there alone, and he was left to clean up whatever may come at him. And you know, on two occasions he got beat pretty hard.
Got beat very hard. I felt a little bad for him. I was watching the Men in Blazers. They're like, just like, they did it again. This poor guy.
Terrible. Yeah, yeah, rough day at the office for him, for sure.
Well, I love a Tottenham loss, but to be honest, mm-hmm. we need them to get in some great form here, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have the North London Derby coming up at the end of the month, so that'll spark them a little bit, whether it, I mean, hopefully they don't win, but
oh yeah, this
it'll at least get them up.
This is the stretch. This is the Tottenham stretch.
Yeah, so it's not a great start to the stretch, but see what they can pull together. But they do have a big break, I think, now.
Yeah, they don't play until the 28th.
Yeah, because City has FA Cup, and yeah, so see what they can do. I mean, they'll be rested, but I don't know, with a game like North London Derby being that next one, I think more time to sit and think about it and tinker is not always the best. So, see what they can do.
Did you see the kids with the t-shirt or the kits, the Hard of Hearing kits at the mm-hmm. Newcastle game? Super cool. I really wanted to see what that's like. Wear one, because I didn't look too into like the actual. What you're feeling like when it happens. So I'm curious to see how they're able to tell what is going on and like what, when the noise is happening. Cause I imagine, you know, if you are deaf, you could probably feel the crowd chanting. Right. So what is that? I want to know what that's adding to it. I don't know. I thought it was cool. I thought it was cool that Dan Burns, was very, recognizing the kids out there. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a good karma game for Newcastle to not only thump Tottenham, but to do something good for their home crowd. And you know, they've had a rough go with injuries. So this was kind of like their, like, see, we could still beat a top five team. We're still there.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. I didn't really look too much into those kits either, but, you know, I'm assuming it's just some other vibration sort of thing that I don't know if they are able to, what they can really like transmit through that, but, you know, cool to see it. And, you know, not just for the kids, but if whatever technology is in there can be made available to everyone that, you know, is hard of hearing, cool. Better for you. More people at the game.
They got to do blind next. I know there's gotta be a way to do it. I don't know how. It's gotta be something with movement. Have you seen the video of the dad with the hands? Like, gotta implement that somehow. That could open up a whole new fan base. Don't really know what the tech could be. But
I'm sure there's things out there already that, you know, can bring people with yeah, blindness or, you know, whatever eyesight issues could be. I mean, even just like having a like a radio commentary of it, right? Like,
sure, sure.
Yeah, it's not exactly the same, but at least you're able to hear what is happening and you know, kind of follow along that way. So, mm-hmm. yeah, but I mean, that's all great stuff. Let's keep making it easier for everyone to get out to games because yep. they're just so much fun.
Yep, right there with you. All right, we kind of hit the big hitters. We, Forest and Wolves, draw. Anything in there you wanna note?
Just Jose Sa's assist.
Yeah, there you go.
It wasn't anything too special, but we love to see a keeper get an assist.
Made it happen. Mm-hmm. Gibbs White goal was nice. I like that a lot.
Oh, Gio Reyna actually got decent minutes, which mm-hmm. you know, that's great to see. I think, you know, talking about Gibbs White playing well, we've seen what Gio Reyna can do during his time at Dortmund. You know, when he's with the national team, like, he can turn up if he's played in the right position. And if Forrest can get both of them out there playing well together, I think it's a great force to have to try and keep you out of relegation.
Yeah, I know. You look at the Forrest team on paper and you're like, you got some players. Like, you need more.
Yeah. But
there, you got something. You can build off of it. You can. Burnley Brighton. Oof. Should we talk about that OG?
Yeah.
Juric.
That was such a bummer. He was playing so well. I mean, he did play well beyond that. He had, I think, 8 saves when I looked. So, you know, he was doing his darndest to keep Burnley in it and, you know, at one point keep the lead and then just the worst mistake you can make as a keeper. You know, the easiest little pass back to you and you just
keep your eye on
the ball. Lose the concentration, I guess. Yeah,
sitting the first time. I feel like he did this recently. Did he not? A couple weeks ago. I feel like a couple weeks ago he blasted one into someone. He definitely had. I feel like he had another error not that long ago.
I don't know.
Well, I looked it up. And the first one that comes up is Juric makes another mistake. So I know there was one.
Okay.
not too long ago. But again, everything is kind of mashing together right now. I'm not worried about what Burnley's doing.
No.
Kind of on the bottom of my list. But they had a chance to get it together, and they couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest takeaway, I think, is just Brighton has still just looked lost. I don't know what has happened. I mean, it could be missing Matoma. We saw that with West Ham and Paqueta. But I think it's bigger than that. I think it's just a team kind of out of ideas. Everyone kind of out of form. it's not looking good, certainly.
I mean, I'm a big believer in Solly March. He won't play at all this season, but last year, yeah. That dude killed it.
Yeah, he was great.
Estupiñán played like 12 minutes. He's kind of, you know, when he was in form at the beginning of the season, that was clicking. Hasn't played in forever. So I think they kind of gave up in terms of like shooting for Europe this year. And again, maybe De Zerbi's fault. I don't know. Like that's another issue, but it definitely, they don't look anything like they did last year where it's like, oh, you're going to go to Brighton, like be on your A game because they're coming at you.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of like, well, thank God we're playing Brighton this week. Truly.
Yeah.
And then the last, I guess we got two more here. West Ham, Fulham. Again, West Ham, you're the most confusing team I think we have. They might be up there.
I get, you know, I think they maybe are a little bit more focused on trying to get past Leverkusen in Europa, which
just crazy.
Is a tall order now that you're down 2 goals. But I think rotating Zuma was not the move. I don't like Mavropanos. And for that first goal, he just brings the ball down in the not only the worst way, but also in the worst spot to do it. So
it's not the first time he's done that this season either that mistake.
Yeah. But yeah, like you said, confusing team. Like this is the same team that, yeah, went through some rough patches, but looked like they were finally coming out of it. And then here we are again. They just, like, couldn't get anything together, really. And even the times they had shots, it was, you know, Antonio is at, like, the six-yard box and blasted over somehow. And just not a great day for West Ham. And not the kind of game you want to build into your second leg of Europa against Leverkusen.
Leverkusen's going to crush them.
I think. The only thing is maybe, you know, yes, their season is still going, but they are winners, so maybe they've been partying a little too hard the past few days, and they'll come in a little bit off. But I mean, West Ham still has to make up at least two goals to, you know, even get it to extra time. So with a performance like they did this weekend, I don't see that even happening.
The vibes in Germany right now are crazy. Like, I don't see any team beating them right now.
No, I mean, I think in the league, I think they'll be able to make it through unscathed. Europa is the only question mark. Like, I mean, I still really want a Leverkusen-Liverpool final.
Me too,
I think,
man.
That would be fun. It would be, you know, not only the Xabi Alonso connection, but also just Leverkusen's been one of the best teams. And, you know, Liverpool has been one of the best teams in England. And, you know, we're used to seeing in Champions League, and now is you know, this season down a tier, but still been putting in good performances, you know, bar this last week, but things happen. And if you had to put money on a team to mount the European comeback, I think it's probably Liverpool. So
be a great time to start. Great time to start getting back on track here. And last time we did play at Atlanta, in that series, we outscored them 7-2. So
okay,
you never know, man. You never know.
I mean, yeah, it could be the perfect game, right? You know, Liverpool had two kind of big defeats, and then here you go. All right, like, you know, this game, as much as you want to win and move on, it's not the league, right? So it doesn't have that same pressure, but it could be just, you know, go out there. We need to get, what, three goals at least?
Just three.
So, like, you know, it's certainly doable with what Liverpool has. So it could be the spark they need to just kind of wake everyone up.
It needs to happen soon. Needs to happen soon.
Yeah.
I don't know. Imagine they're Chelsea out there. We always score a lot against Chelsea. Go out there and just start. Just shoot on target. Just shoot on target. All right. No more Liverpool.
Yeah.
And then last game for EPL, Chad, Chelsea against Everton today.
And I think you mean Palmer versus Everton.
That's
today,
fair. But that's fair. Absolute crushing defeat for Everton. Naked mild. Cole Palmer with a poker goal. I know he got the poker goal. I don't know how you'd use that as a noun.
Yeah, poker.
He got the poker goal, which is the fourth goal, but I don't know how you say it. He got four. That's how you say it. Insane game by Palmer. He did everything right. Scored with all parts of his body legally. And that wasn't even the highest point of this game. It was the fight for the PK, which we got to watch before we got on here. And I feel like that almost takes away not everything, but I bet people focused on that more than the 6-0 defeat.
Yeah, I'd say it's definitely taken away some of the just like celebration of it all. And I think, like you said before we started, when we were watching it back, you know, I think even going into the dressing room after the game, I think it's not so much a celebration of a 6-0 thrashing to Everton. It's probably some weird tension in there with like excitement of the victory, but then also this like weird, we had a fight over the penalty and it didn't look like not just a disagreement of like, oh, I really wanted to take the penalty. You already got three goals. It was, no, like, not fight, but like edging on it.
It was close, man. I just don't understand. Like, Palmer's not, has he missed one this season? I don't believe so.
I don't think so, yeah.
He has 20 goals on the season now. Insane. Most of them coming in the second half. When Pochettino was asked about the situation, man, a few words, basically just said it's a shame. It's a shame. Like, that's it, man. Like, you got to go figure out what, why you're, I mean, arguably, between the two of those guys, they're probably close to 100 million, right?
Yeah.
And Palmer's how much? I mean, a quarter of that?
I'm surprised that was Pochettino's answer. I feel like that, you know, feeds the flames a little bit on this, where it, he could have played it more of like, oh, well, you know, you want guys that want to score, right? They want to perform at the highest level sort of thing. Like, you could have turned it that way of just like, well, Madueke and Jackson, you know, feel like they could also score and help the team. Mm-hmm. You know,
he gave a pretty PC answer of his, it's unacceptable, it can't happen again, we talked about it, blah blah blah. It's the least amount of dangerous answer, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure I haven't listened to it, but I'm sure it was very calm. I'm sure it was like, you know, like, yes, we've talked about it, instead of like, I don't know, man. I've never seen that with one of my teams, kind of in any situation.
No,
like that. And
I mean,
especially in a 4-0 game, it wasn't even like the stakes were high here. What are you doing?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm trying to understand Madueke and Jackson, what they're thinking here, and I'm assuming they're like, well, you know, okay, if Madueke is the number two penalty taker, then okay, Palmer's still down, hurt, potentially more hurt, so you know, grabs the ball to take it, to start prepping to take the pen, which is fine. But then I think there's also probably the like, well, Palmer has 3 goals already, so he doesn't need a fourth, like, give it to me. But then I think Jackson is also in that of like, you know, spread the wealth sort of thing. You know, let me take it because I'm the striker and, you know, I need to score too. Or maybe they got bonuses in their contract and, you know, they're both like 1-2 goals away from it. So they're like, we need to pad this when we can.
That could be true. I have a feeling it's not.
Yeah.
It could be true. You see that in other sports. But here's the thing, though. Most of your teammates know that.
Yeah.
So it happens in baseball all the time where, you know, you need to pitch one more inning. So a coach will have their guy go out there and pitch one inning and pull him out and be like, I just got you $1 million. Like, you're welcome. If that was the case, if that's what happened here, Palmer is going to be in big trouble, I think, in the locker room. Because that's something I think you need to, I do think you need to share the wealth in that way. But I don't, that's crazy. I don't think that's the case. This looked like a weird jealousy thing. I don't even know who was fighting who, to be honest. Was Jackson and Madueke on the same team here?
I think they weren't initially. And then when they both got taken off the ball, then they like kind of were.
Yo, what the?
But like, yeah. But I mean, yeah, it was all just so strange. I think my like biggest takeaway from watching that was Connor Gallagher, like wearing the captain's armband, wasn't afraid to be in there and just kind of put his foot down, right? Like,
for sure.
Cole Palmer's our number one taker. He's taking it, like, end of story. And, you know, I think that's great to see, but like, we haven't really talked about it in a long time now, but, you know, Gallagher still hasn't signed a new deal. There's still the talk kind of surrounding him of potentially being sold to help Chelsea, you know, meet their financial fair play stuff. So, like,
He gone.
I mean, like, it seems crazy to sell him, especially when you're making him captain and he's doing actual, like, captain duties, but, like, he also hasn't come to a new deal, so...
You don't want to put up with that shit.
Yeah.
As a captain, that's your job, right?
Yeah. But
he just looked so fed up with it. He really did. It was kind of wild.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, because Palmer has been playing so well, part of me was starting to wonder, well, is he going to maybe just try and do a, like, almost force his way out in the summer? And, like, if a bigger team comes knocking, like, yeah, Chelsea potentially could get Champions League next season, but you're already carrying this team, right? Like, you came from City. You would have been playing in Champions League if Pep liked you enough to play you, but it just feels like you're maybe a touch too good for this Chelsea team, and I know you just got there, but I don't know if, I don't know, a big team, Madrid, I don't know.
Oh, I wouldn't be shocked at all if Madrid and Jude say, hey, buddy, hey mate.
Yeah, right?
We need some Englishmen over here.
I don't know who Madrid utilizes on that right wing, but...
Rodrigo.
So, I mean, capable, but it's Madrid.
But they're trying to sell Valverde, too. So...
Okay, yeah.
It kind of... I
mean, yeah. It could line up, you know. I know Madrid's not really the, like, Galacticos team anymore, but, you know, if... I think you make a good point. Like, Jude is there, you know. He kind of has that English pull now, and, you know, if you're Palmer, I think you're... Yeah, you signed a deal with Chelsea not long ago, but I think your door is wide open to any offer.
Even after today, dude, after when he had to, like, basically fight his way to hang on to that ball, man, that's crazy. He's 21, Chad, and Jude's 20. That's, like, Madrid's future right there if they really want it. And I do, yeah. I do think it could happen, especially if they get Mbappe, too.
There you go. See, that's Galacticos are coming back.
Have they ever left? I know they did, but, like...
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, but, yeah, I don't know. I just kind of started thinking about that after today's performance. I mean, yeah, it's Everton who have not been good, but the way he got his goals, I think, showed so much more than just, like, Everton being bad. Like, you know, his first goal, he already has a great little nutmeg to create the space. Credit to Jackson for the flick back to him. Like, that's a big move. But then the calmness and composure to just finish it like that is incredible. You know, the second one, just kind of following the ball, following the play. But, like, that's a great skill to have. Then what, third one, Pickford's pass isn't even terrible. It's not great. But Cole's right there and jumps on it right away. Like, a lot of players aren't that proactive, and even on, you know, Chelsea, you don't see a lot of players jumping at balls like that. And
no,
I don't know. I think I'm probably getting ahead of myself on his career, but I wouldn't be surprised if some team just kind of throws an offer at him and Chelsea this summer and just says, you know, I don't know who. It could be a Madrid, you know, PSG. It's gonna need some people. Yeah, even maybe a Bayern Munich. I don't know. Like, Bayern's gonna want to come back with a vengeance and fury after missing out on the Bundesliga. So
I don't know if Bayern's gonna take any more chances on the Englishmen, though. Not saying that Harry Kane wasn't great for them.
Well, Kane's been great for them. Yeah. So
it's everywhere else, right?
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Be a interesting story over the summer, I think, to kind of keep an eye on.
Chelsea, you're so confusing. All right, Chad, we did it. We got through all our games here. Shall we go through our team player and goals?
Oh, certainly.
Let's start with team, because this is kind of a tough one. I got three, and I think it's the standard three. Chelsea, because they just absolutely rocked Everton. And then Crystal Palace and Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Have to do it.
Yeah. The only one I'm adding to that is Newcastle.
Fair.
Just because, you know, you put four past Tottenham, who's maybe not been in the greatest of form, but is above you in the table. But I'm kind of on, like, a package deal of Palace and Villa, because you just...
Can I sell you on you Palace? Can I sell you on Palace alone?
Sure.
11 spots in between Palace and Liverpool.
Fair, yeah.
Two between, yeah. One between Castle Tottenham, two between Villa and Arsenal.
Yeah, certainly a bigger win for Palace. I think Palace can take it alone, but you know, just them and Villa to do the package deal of handing the loss to two of three title challengers in one weekend is on you, but also like well played.
If that wasn't going to sell you on it, I was going to put one more thing out there. When they scored their goal, Klopp couldn't believe it. And that was the first time I've ever seen Klopp look at an opponent's goal and literally say, wow. He said, wow. So, not saying at that point that game was dead, but I was, oh, man, he wasn't even pissed. He wasn't even pissed. It's crazy.
It's never a good sign.
It's crazy. Let's do goal here. I got a fat list. Why don't you start us off?
I like Isak's first goal. Sends Van de Ven to the ground and do some little head spin. But also I think just great control from him and a nice little cut in to make that. Cunha's first goal. I think the defending is the big help here, but to still make the turn and, put it in. Yeah, it was a pretty goal. Then that City game, actually, I got four from it. Kovacic banger. Barkley, I liked his, the position that Luton is in that game, really composed and calm and like, he needed to do more of that, I think.
Got it.
Doku.
Pretty.
Some great dribbling in there to break some ankles along the way. And then, of course, Gvardiol at the end just bangs it.
I have all the same, but I do want to shout out Haaland for probably having probably what would be the biggest miss of the season if it weren't for Luton defender's head to slot. I mean, come on, dude. He blasted that ball, and that thing would have gone, like when Sterling took that free kick a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
It would have been, I think, level with that. He was, if probably. You look at the angle of that ball, it was going probably towards the corner flag, which is crazy.
You're not wrong. Yeah, yeah.
He somehow found his way to put that in the net, but that was a... I just wanted to shout out, like,
harsh, yeah. Otherwise, I got Solanke's goal. Some good strength there to kind of force his way through and still control it well. Ollie Watkins, Chip. Smith Rowe's not the defender you should be going against there, but he put the pressure on and you performed. And then Cole Palmer's first goal.
With you there. We got pretty much the same list this week. Tough one to choose, though. If I had to just pick one, man.
Yeah.
Do I go skill? Do I go power?
That's it. You got a little of everything.
Yeah. I think Barkley probably had the best combination of the two.
Mm-hmm.
I did like Doku's sweet little run. Palmer had the best finish. It's tough.
Well, I think. Look, we can go through our list for players, but I think Palmer's probably getting
it.
That's
pretty short. It's one.
But
player.
Palmer's probably getting it, right?
Like, 100%.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So not to say that we can't do both, but I think
he gone.
Yeah. I think I'm probably between Barkley and Doku. Like, I love the power of some of the other goals this week, but it's also nice to see some good dribbling, some good control, some nice shot placement, and they make it look easy.
Let's do Doku. I don't think we've put him in here before. The skill moves are nice. The dribbling was pretty.
Yeah,
he sliced his way in, but got a lot of bangers in this week. Doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like the list this big for us to have the exact same ones too, that's that's pretty interesting.
That's good.
All right, and then another soccer news, Chad. I want to talk a little bit about Messi this weekend.
Oh yeah,
fascinating. Absolutely yeah. fascinating, man. That dude could sneeze and people lose their fucking minds out there. It was kind of funny being around just like the group we were in. Weird simulation. I've been getting a lot of these lately. It's really annoying me. And before we went to the game, we went to Dick's. We got some sporting kits and stuff. And then we went to Taco Bell. There was like four people in there. Our Taco Bell dude who's taking our order was like faking an Australian accent, and it was the most awkward experience of my life. I couldn't even look him in the eyes, dude. I was like, I just can't. I can't do this. Anyway, we sat down. There was like a kid in the corner wearing a messy kit and his dad. And I was like, he's probably going to the game, but like his dad was in like his work stuff. But I was like, whatever. We get to the game, Chad. We're about to hit 50 minutes of traffic going in. Okay. Nice. We got 40 minutes till game time. And I'm saying, oh, we ain't watching this game. Like, let's just, like, yeah. I was like, we're fucked. I plug it into my maps of our parking area. What I didn't know is my maps wasn't taking us to the parking area. It was taking us to the street the parking area was on, which is about 5 miles away from the stadium. I'm sweating right now just even thinking about it. Kristen was on her quick wits and got into Waze. And, like, we found this back way in, which is actually pretty beautiful, and we'll be using it in the future. Nice. We parked with like 20 minutes to go. We walked a mile to the stadium, booked it. We jaywalked with some other dude. Kristen hopped a fence, ate shit, grass stained her pants. I was able to just like leg swing over the fence, right? Because I'm pretty tall, and she thought she could do like one hand over, two legs over thing, and she tried to. It did not go well, and so we made it in. We sat down, like literally, as that photo that I took with them circling up, huddling. That is when we sat down. I look to my right. We're high up, right? But I look to my right, kid with the messy shirt on, dad from Taco Bell. And I'm just like, what? Bro. I was like, come on. I was like, Kristen, I was like, these guys were literally in Taco Bell with us. And this was like almost an hour ago at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, do I say something? I was like, I can't say something because maybe they don't know me. But I was like, Kristen's like, are you sure? I was like, I'm 100% sure. Because it took me like 15 minutes to figure it out, but the kid kept going like this to me, and I was like, why is this kid looking at me so funny? And I was like, oh my god, he recognizes me from Taco Bell, because they had the Australian faking accent. You just couldn't forget that experience.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, the game was awesome. Sporting goes up early. Messi has a great assist, and that just like got the crowd kind of going. Just like we got to see Messi do something. And and then when he got the chance to score, man, unbelievable. Like, literally everyone was on their feet. It was getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it. Last night when we were kind of, like, winding down and stuff, Chris and I were like, we saw Messi score last night. It's like, how it just feels so out of place. If you ever have an opportunity, man, check the day before, like 2 days prior. Tickets were pretty reasonable. You, of course, got a little bit further to go. Maybe check the earthquakes like a day or two prior. And I wouldn't be surprised if they moved to a bigger stadium either, if they go to Levi's or something. Yeah. That seems to be the right move to make.
You sell double at least of what your normal capacity is.
Sporting capacity is 18,000, and Arrowhead holds 76,000. Fourth highest crowd in MLS history at 72,000. Highest crowd in Missouri history for soccer. Overall, awesome experience. Only downside is getting out of that stadium is a nightmare. I would never go back to that stadium ever again if I had the choice. They basically funnel everyone into a tunnel, and then they all have to get to a parking lot. And the tunnel, Chad, I swear, it's no bigger than my freaking office.
Oh my God.
We couldn't believe it. We thought players were coming out of a tunnel to drive away, and people were like waiting for them to come out of this tunnel.
And we
just walked past it, and then we're like, oh no, we have to go through that tunnel. So instead, we hopped a fence. I said, don't hop this fence. Kristen actually got lucky. Some dudes held the fence open for her while she crawled under. I did the old hop, skip, and a do, and I made my way down, and that saved us, I'm not even kidding, probably an hour.
Oof,
it was that bad.
Dang.
So that was our messy day.
Wow, yeah. Eventful from start to finish.
We will never forget it.
Nice, yeah. I've since he's been at Inter Miami, I've certainly kept an eye on the times that they come out west. Unfortunately, it's not all too often. I think this year, their only west California game, at least, was LAFC, I think, for like the first or second game of the season. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so unless it's maybe some, I mean, I guess even playoffs will be kind of East Coast until the final. But, yeah, keeping an eye out, you know, fingers crossed for he's going to do maybe Copa America, maybe continue into the World Cup and catch one of those games if we can. But
do they not play the Earthquakes because they're not in the conference or whatever?
No, yeah. I mean, I think they – I think it's like they do a handful of like out of conference games, but it's not everyone. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. So keeping an eye on it though, looking around, because definitely would like to see Messi live for once.
Tickets were $100.
That's not bad at all.
It was so worth it. It was like, it's a day. Like, you got to make a day of it. Yeah. So we got to drive 2 hours and whatnot, but oh man, tickets in Orlando are like $30. If that means anything,
$30. I just gotta get there.
Yeah, and you got to pick the game that Messi's playing. That was the risk, right? I was like, Kristen on the way there, she was like, he hasn't been playing, he's been injured. And I was like, I'm so glad you know this because I didn't, and he was starting. So
nice.
Yep, and we saw Suarez's goal too, which was fun.
Ooh, there you go. Yep.
So. Yeah, that's about it. Pitch invaders were cool. One kid got there. Everyone else sucked. Security, I don't think, knew what was happening ever.
I mean, yeah, it looked like they just kind of let people through.
Yeah, they definitely did. They definitely did. One kid ran out when the game ended. I think the best one, the kid ran out there. Some lady caught him, and she just held him. Like, carried it, like, literally carried him away. And I was like, damn, that poor kid, like, probably hates that. But,
oh, yeah.
That's what happens.
Yep.
All right, Chad. Anything else we need to get off our chest here?
No, I don't think so. I feel better now.
Yeah, me too. I'm not going to lie. I really do. It's our therapy.
Exactly, yeah.
Come to the Hooligans pitch for some real therapy.
Exactly. Got to let it all out.
I did. I'm exhausted. All right, Chad, it's been a pleasure. We got 6 weeks left.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. Well, I'll be here till the end with you, no matter how our season ends. I hope it's on a good note for one of us, because this weekend...
I just need it to end with the red team up top and not this light blue.
Sick of this blue. Sick of it. yeah, this weekend definitely felt like it put us back in reality a little bit. But hey, man, you never know.
Exactly.
Won't know until the game season ends.
Gotta believe. Gotta believe.
All right, man, with that, Hooligans pitch, we're out.
Peace.